In honor of Survivor Series, we're going back to the year 2003, Team Austin versus Team Bischoff. Your wrestling nostalgia show starts right after this. So we all know that the opioid epidemic is becoming a big problem in this country, but there are solutions out there, and there's a website that you can go to or direct somebody that you know that may need help to this website. It's recoverydelivered.com. That's recoverydelivered.com. When you go to this website, there's a wealth of information from the treatment programs, medications, there's an FAQ, a blog, so many different resources that could save yours or someone you know's life. And there's even a 12-step program that you can do online, an at-home opioid detox, outpatient addiction treatment online. There's even an 800 number that you can call to get help right now. So this could be the most important thing you ever do. RecoveryDelivered.com. They deliver opioid addiction treatment to people via their phone, so you don't have to wait at a clinic each week to see a doctor. Check it out, guys. It's RecoveryDelivered.com.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Well, guys, Survivor Series is just a few days away as I record this on a Thursday, November 21st. 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. And yes, we have a Survivor Series wrestling nostalgia show for you, discussing Survivor Series 2003, Team Austin, Team Bischoff, Austin's career on the line, and in one of the better matches that I can remember at Survivor Series in terms of this 5-on-5 format. Yes, we had Team Cena versus Team Authority, but I think this was a much more emotional investment rather than the Authority storyline that more than ran its course back in 2014, 15, even into 16. So this is one that's near and dear to my heart. When you hear the crowd reactions, I think you'll agree. Obviously, Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler on commentary doesn't hurt, and it was an emotional match, a good match, well booked, and we're going to get to that, of course, with some audio clips for you to dive into me, to it with me as we travel back in time. 16 years we travel back to the year I graduated high school, and it's a match that, again, was built for the right purpose. It was built because it made sense. And yes, Survivor Series always has the traditional 5-on-5 elimination match. But this had nothing to do with the brand. Nothing. Nothing to do with the brand in any capacity. It was personal issues. After Austin was appointed the co-general manager of Raw and the on-screen rivalry with his counterpart of Eric Bischoff, and it culminated in this moment at Survivor Series. So we're going to get to that and the outcome of it in just a minute. But first, of course, thank you guys for joining me here on this Thursday. And I'll be back, just so you know, I'll be back Saturday with Ashley as we give our official 2019 Survivor Series predictions that I'm going to try to have a show without a rant about the Survivor Series. Because you know what? After Sunday, the Survivor Series nonsensical garbage is gone. The nonsensical crap of Survivor Series with their storylines and contrived force brand rivalries, and you're wearing the same color, so we're on the same team and friends. All of that childish, awful booking goes out the window, and we all forget who won because, honestly, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't, because we won't be reminded that it matters, because we have been educated every year that it doesn't and nothing's on the line. And WWE goes back to what professional wrestling should be and what makes it work well, and that's personal issues and championships among the guys and gals on their respective brands, not this sudden, just injection of brand loyalty and pride to go and fight for their brand when they didn't have a choice in the draft. It's just, okay, see, I'm already getting on a rant. Okay, I'm gonna take a pause there and not do that. How about that? Because I feel like I'll repeat myself. So anyway, guys, thank you for listening to the WWE podcast. You can head on over to the website if you want more content and a way to support the show. Is support the show tab. And if you shop on Amazon, well, there's a banner there that you can click on and it'll bring you directly to Amazon and shop as you normally do. It just kicks back a little bit to the show. Or you can head out over to Patreon and for as little as $1 a month, you can get an ad-free experience to our entire library and exclusive shout-outs and get on the show and some other good stuff. So patreon.com/WWE podcast would be that address. So guys, I really do want to thank you. We are continuously, I don't know, it's been a long friggin' day, one of those words. We are continually in the top 20, top 15 wrestling podcasts on Apple Podcasts. So that's really not my doing. That's yours. So thank you so much for making this show a success. Much appreciated. And I do notice, and it's continuing to climb the ranks. And it's not easy. I mean, we're competing with shows now at the top of the list here, like shows like Cheap Heat with Peter Rosenberg and Vince Russo and Jim Cornette and Edge and Christian's ENC of Pod of Awesomeness. And I mean, we're starting to really head into the elite of the elite here, and it's because of you guys. So thank you for that. And so, all right, that's soft stuff out of the way. Let's get to a time. Let's take a drive. Let's go back to the year 2003. What were you doing in 2003? Just put yourself in that place. I'll put myself in that place while you do the same. I'm a senior in high school. Or actually, no, sorry. If it's fall of 2003, I have just started my first year of college, first semester of college, dating a girl that my parents hated, and continually dated her for like 2 years. And that's a story for probably a whole nother show beyond this one. But so that's where I was at. Wrestling was still a big part of my life. We're still in the bit of a Attitude Era hangover, and the big stars are starting to fade out with Austin, who had retired, and we have Rock, who is now really investing himself in Hollywood more than he is on a weekly basis on wrestling television. So it's a transition year. Brock Lesnar is up and coming, and WWE is searching for that next Stone Cold, as Austin, as I said, had retired at WrestleMania that year. So it was a transition year, but still a year of big stars, big names. Randy Orton was one of them. And this was one of my favorite matches because it was the start of Randy Orton really cementing himself as a Survivor Series savant, as a Survivor Series 5-on-5 expert. And Randy Orton ended up, well, I won't spoil the ending, but this whole thing started with Bischoff and Austin. Austin was appointed the co-general manager by Linda McMahon. And anytime Linda McMahon comes out, you know that something awesome is about to happen, right? With the exception of her taking the stunner from Austin at the homecoming of USA Network back in 2005. I mean, just yikes. But outside of that, anytime you saw Linda McMahon, you knew, as Jim Ross would say, business was about to pick up. I mean, that's just what it was. So we had a constant rivalry between Bischoff and Austin. They had great on-air chemistry. It actually started with their physical rivalry back at No Way Out 2003, when Austin had come back and had his match before his final match and faced Bischoff after Vince McMahon had initiated a "You've got 30 days, Eric Bischoff, to take Raw by the throat and choke Raw and shake things up. And Eric Bischoff's solution was to bring in Austin. Of course, Austin led him on a wild goose chase that ended up in a match at No Way Out. Austin destroyed Bischoff in one of my favorite moments of all time. I remember how awesome that was to see Stone Cold back in the ring at No Way Out. And then it continued. Austin had his final match with Rock, and then Austin was brought on as the co-Raw general manager. And that's when they had their rivalry throughout the spring and summer, and they had even a redneck challenge. You guys remember that, where they ended up getting really drunk on air, drinking beer, and Austin even stunned Mae Young. Yeah, that really happened. So they had, you know, rivalry all year. Austin had the stipulation that he couldn't touch any talent unless he was physically provoked. Lots of great stuff, and this is only just one of those moments. Again, it was really the final chapter of the co-general manager storyline. As we know, Austin was brought back as the sheriff later on, and so, which I still don't really understand, but hey, I didn't care because Austin was back on TV. So this is the culmination of their storyline, where Austin would assemble his five guys, Bischoff would assemble his five guys, and whoever lost was gone. So this is what's on the line, is Austin's career. So let me give you guys a little bit of audio from this, and I'm gonna go right to the end of the match. And the reason I'm gonna do that is because this match was really long, and I don't want this show to be really long, and I don't want to flood you guys with a lot of clips that may not be relevant, and I don't want to just, you know, use the clips as ways to do my show. I want to give you guys what I think. So, it came down to Shawn Michaels on Austin's team, and he had three guys that were left on Bischoff's team, and it was Christian, it was Jericho, and it was Randy Orton that were left on Bischoff's team. And again, Shawn Michaels was the only guy left for Austin. So there were insurmountable odds that Michaels had to face to overcome the mountain. And he gets busted open, and, well, I'll just let some of this audio do the talking.
Shawn Michaels is fighting for everything he's worth here.
Yeah, but JR, now listen, even you.
Christian going for the uprightier.
Yeah, you got to face the facts. You got to be realistic. It's looking real.
Be realistic about that kid. No, he's got a game.
Christian has been eliminated.
So Michaels gets the kick on Christian, and he gets it down to two, so it's just Jericho and Orton left. And well, let's listen to what happened to Jericho.
We are experiencing perhaps the most miraculous performance in Shawn Michaels' historic and storied career here. Michaels barely able to stand, and no! Hard crossbody Michaels. I don't know if Michaels moved out of the way or just collapsed from the loss of blood.
So there, I mean, you were down or Michaels and Orton, and Jericho ended up hitting Michaels in the face after he got eliminated. I remember how pissed off I was. I mean, just because of how invested I was in this match, and real heat on Chris Jericho for this. I mean, I really, really was just, I despise Jericho, but that's what made him so damn great. And what's making him so damn great in AEW too, is the flexibility to be himself and not be suffocated by the creative and the overproduction of things. So, man, we're down to Michaels and Orton, and this is where it's nail-biting time. As Jim Ross says, we're deep into the fourth quarter. You'll hear that analogy in just a moment. Let's just get to it. So at this point, I'm going to pause it here. At this point, I'm thinking that Michaels probably should win this. I mean, Austin hits the stunner. I was losing it at that point. I was 18 years old. Jeez, I can't do math. 18 years old at this point. And I remember screaming. I was like, yeah, he's got it. And here we go with, you'll hear. So Batista, out of all characters, ends up popping up here and ends up getting the deciding finishing maneuver on Shawn Michaels with the Batista bomb and finishes off Michaels as Orton covers Michaels and Austin loses. And, you know, look, we all know it's WWE storyline, right? We all know WWE can't even stick to their own stipulations with matches. So we knew that at some point in the not too distant future, we would see Stone Cold Steve Austin again. It was just a matter of time. And as I said, they brought him back as the sheriff and ends up stunning Bischoff again. And he's on his own. He's kind of like a rogue general manager where he's on his own rules, his own conditions. And I think he returned about a month later or so and was... I think it might have been close to the New Year's Eve edition of Raw, because I remember Bischoff screaming to Mick Foley, to Shawn Michaels, "You're fired." And then Austin came out and stunned Bischoff, and they were back off to the races with Austin being the sheriff, essentially the co-general manager without the title. If it wasn't Stone Cold, I probably would be ranting about how terrible that the logic is in that, and how it was essentially just a complete wash of the Survivor Series outcome. And so transforming into this year's Survivor Series transitioning into it, I think that it's probably smart that they don't have any real stipulations on these matches, because they wouldn't stick to them anyway. So they stick to this broad narrative of bragging rights. They stick to this broad this broad prize of, well, we'll be able to say we win. Well, again, I just look, even beyond how terrible the whole rah-rah my brand suddenly is and is forced. We all know that. I've said that 100,000 times. I just don't know how any brand can truly claim victory. Is there a defined set of regulations that say if you win this match, you can claim brand supremacy? Or do you have to do a clean sweep? Or do you have to, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would assume that the 5-on-5-on-5, God, that hurts me even saying, match carries the most weight. But does it really in the women's revolution where you have Becky, Bailey, and Shayna Baszler? I mean, does it? I don't know. I mean, so that has not been defined. I guess they're going to give each brand their own victory. That's my guess. So each brand can claim their own brand supremacy. But I don't know. I mean, NXT has certainly made an impact. It honestly doesn't even matter when you boil it down. And the reason it doesn't matter, no matter, even if SmackDown, who's probably the biggest underdog in all of this, ends up doing a sweep and they win the whole thing, it's going to be forgotten. It's going to be forgotten because there's no follow-up. There's never follow-up to this. There's no defined prize. They won't do a thing. That's why none of this matters. The only thing that'll matter, I think, in the minds of fans, how does NXT fare? Because I think we'll get a true glimpse into how Vince McMahon views NXT. Because it's not just Triple H's world anymore. It is now Triple H's world colliding with the Vince McMahon well-established world of his view of pro wrestling. Or he would even call it that. He would call it sports entertainment. So in Vince's world, how does NXT stack up against his two children of SmackDown and Raw? I think we're going to get a real glimpse into that. I think that what the fans are going to remember about Sunday is, what did NXT do? Did NXT win? How did they fare? How were they treated is really what people are going to be looking at. You know, were they treated with, I don't want to say respect, because of course they will be, but you know, how were they booked? Were they defeated soundly? Did they put up a fight? You know, people will be looking at that kind of thing, I think, rather than, you know, who ends up winning the number of matches. I think ultimately what's going to matter the most is NXT's representation, as I said. NXT's representation in this pay-per-view is what the whole pay-per-view is built around. Because no one cares about Raw versus SmackDown. I can tell you the official number is zero. For the number of people that actually care about that kind of brand supremacy. It's really the NXT Invasion pay-per-view. That's what this is about. So, all right, well, I'm going to take a quick break. On the other side, I'm going to dig a little bit more into Survivor Series with the 5-on-5-on-5, and then get into a little bit of CM Punk interview. So stay right here. So we all know that the opioid epidemic is becoming a big problem in this country, but there are solutions out there, and there's a website that you can go to or direct somebody that you know that may need help to this website. It's recoverydelivered.com. That's recoverydelivered.com. When you go to this website, there's a wealth of information from the treatment programs, medications. There's an FAQ, a blog, so many different resources that could save yours or someone you know's life. And there's even a 12-step program that you can do online, an at-home opioid detox, outpatient addiction treatment online. There's even an 800 number that you can call to get help right now. So this could be the most important thing you ever do. RecoveryDelivered.com. They deliver opioid addiction treatment to people via their phone, so you don't have to wait at a clinic each week to see a doctor. Check it out, guys. It's recoverydelivered.com. All right, so kind of closing out my final thoughts here on Survivor Series that's coming up, and We had the 5-on-5-on-5, and then I'm not going to give predictions here because that's for Saturday's show. But what I will say, this is going to be the longest single triple threat match in WWE history. And I expect good things out of NXT here. I could see NXT winning this. I don't know if that's my official prediction. Triple H is promising something big to happen at this pay-per-view. So could I see NXT winning this? Yes. And kind of an early thought, I really would be shocked if NXT didn't win this. They may lose their other two matches, but I could see NXT winning this one in particular. This is the one that holds the most weight in traditional 5-on-5-on-5 Survivor Series formats. So if NXT is going to make a statement, as WWE loves to say, or send a message, if they're going to do any of those corporately sponsored phrases, then this is the time to do it. This is the time that you would want NXT to make a splash and have them cement their victory here and cement it in a big way. If this is going to be the main event of the show, and have them win, and I expect them to do that. I really do. This is where NXT should shine. This is where NXT should put its best foot forward. And that's not to diminish the triple threat match between the women. You could argue that people are looking forward to that match more than they are this one, for the simple fact of it's a much lower, or it's a much shorter match in all likelihood, and it just is more appealing from simplistic standpoint, and from an easier to follow and digest standpoint. You can understand what's happening. The promo between Shayna and Becky was off the charts with their sit down interview. Bayley has inserted herself well to the point of not feeling like truly a third wheel. She's kind of like two and a half. Right, she's not that third. She's halfway there, but has really made herself feel relevant and not just feel like an afterthought in this match. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing, and a credit to Bayley for her really involvement, and credit to changing that. And I don't think she would be in this position should she have been still the side ponytail, hugging, vomit-inducing character that she has been for the last few years. So there's a lot to look forward to here. Personally, I'm looking forward to that match the most, followed very closely, a very close second of Brock and Ray. So, and now I'm getting into this year's Survivor Series. So I don't want to give too much away, and I'm still, honestly, I'm formulating my predictions, which I'm, it's not for me to, you got to tune in. Well, you do, but I honestly don't even have my full, true, set in stone predictions yet. So that's why I can't give too much away, because I don't have a whole lot. So, all right. Well, transitioning to one last thing here before we close out the show is the CM Punk interview that he did with Renee Young on WWE Backstage, and which, by the way, has only gained about 80,000 viewers since last week's WWE Backstage. Now, what you'd have to say is, well, this could be a slow burn of Punk coming back, and the way people want Punk to come back is not in a backstage, not true WWE capacity. They want Punk to come back in an in-ring capacity, so it's hard to measure those metrics of, well, how valuable is Punk in 2019? Look, would he only marginally raise the ratings? Well, number one, you can't base it on 1 week. Number two, it's not a true WWE product per se. He's not a true WWE employee, and he's not back in the capacity people want to see him back in. So you can't judge this format and transpose it into a format of, what if he returned to the ring? Would this be the only marginal increase we'd see? There's a lot of factors at play here. Plus, what if people had been tuning out and continued to tune out at the rate they were, and Punk actually had a net gain of 80,000 viewers, But had Punk not been there, maybe it would have been an actual net loss of 50,000 viewers, which means Punk actually brought in 150,000 viewers. I mean, you have to look at it in that kind of way, too. But apparently, WWE was not pleased with the ratings of the of backstage with Punk actually being, you know, blowing up social media and coming back, and which honestly should not have been a surprise to anybody, given the fact that Punk had made it very clear that he was on backstage, and it was no secret that he was coming to film in the for Fox the backstage show. So I wasn't very surprised or, you know, flabbergasted by him coming back. And so, but nonetheless, so Punk did an interview, and he sat down with Renee Young, and it was about a 10-minute interview, and he was asked a lot of different questions. I mean, he did kind of poo-poo on the product a little bit about the women's revolution and how it shouldn't feel like they have to announce it, that they should just let the women go out there and kick ass. Yes. Thank you, Punk. He's not a fan of the big dog creative. Love that. Thank you, Punk, for that. And the Baron Corbin, Roman Reigns creative that, you know, where Baron Corbin came out with the doggy bags and, you know, put the dog suit on somebody and, you know, talked about, I don't know, childish crap. So it was, and also Renee Young asked point blank about CM Punk returning to the ring. And, well, I'll let you listen and then we can discuss.
We have to ask the inevitable questions here. Are we going to see CM Punk step back in the ring? I mean, we've got Survivor Series in Chicago. Royal Rumble's just around the corner. I mean, people love that element of surprise of Rumble.
So it, regardless of what my answer is, there's somebody that's always going to be upset with it, right? And, like, as I've said, I've stated, I work for Fox. I haven't talked to anybody in WWE. It's nothing that I'm actively pursuing or interested in. Mm-hmm. But I'm 41 years old, and I've lived an experienced life where I know to not say no.
Sure.
But that, they, I mean, that's going to be a bridge that is going to have to be built, and it might take as long as building the Great Wall of China, because there's some hurdles. There's some hurdles there.
But if I'm somebody on the internet right now, I can officially say, so you're telling me there's a chance.
See, don't be that person, Renee.
I'm sorry. I think it's my job to be that person.
They're
going to
start chanting my name at shows. And
oh, because that stops.
People are going to be upset about it.
Okay, so fine. It's not happening.
So that's Punk's answer. It's kind of the it's the non-answer. That's Punk's answer is a non-answer. And what did you expect? However, I will say he has been more open in his responses rather than shutting it down cleanly. And this is the first step. I think that, yes, basically he's saying that the bridge has to be repaired. Doesn't say it's unrepairable. So you're going to have people losing their minds in Chicago on Sunday. But I don't expect Punk to be there Sunday. People can chant. There'll be a lot of chants, especially during terrible matches like maybe Bobby Lashley and Rusev, which will probably, you know, is it even on the card? I'm going to have to look. If it's on the card, and I believe it is, that could easily be the one where CM Punk chants just get completely, they envelop the match. And I would, you know, rightfully so. Really, I mean, that storyline is just, you know how I feel about it. So, but back to Punk's answer. I mean, you heard it. Punk really feels that, you know, he's smart enough to say no, never say never, the whole wrestling mantra, right? And he knows that this could take time, but he's in a position where he's employed by Fox, not WWE. He can say what he wants about the product. Nobody can fire him. Nobody's looking over his shoulder. He doesn't have the pressures of being an in-ring performer. And so, you know, I understand his position. I believe him. And people are expecting him to show up at the Rumble. In my last show, I explained why him being in the Rumble would make no sense. None. Because you can't have him be in the Rumble and lose the Rumble. And you can't have him be in the Rumble and win the Rumble. Because CM Punk is not in a position to hold a WWE championship, at least in the capacity of main eventing WrestleMania. I know that's what his goal was, and, you know, miracles happen. I get it. But this is a bit of a different business where this is right now, 6 years later, they've got some good talent. They are on fire with younger talent, particularly with NXT call-ups and such. That is Punk really being in the main event of WrestleMania, as awesome as that would be? Is that something they really want to do to mitigate all the progress they've made with the young talent that are working towards that spot, to earn that spot? Even though, don't worry guys, apparently The Fiend versus Roman Reigns is what's being planned for WrestleMania 36 as they build Roman Reigns back up, so let's get ready for it. Let's cross that bridge when we get to it. But right now, CM Punk is the guy that people are going to be, every time there's a surprise return, every time that, you know, a limo shows up at the arena, or there's a, you know, a surprise guest something somehow with, you know, mystery opponents, we're all going to be thinking Punk, and me included. It's just the way you're programmed as a wrestling fan to think. And I think the Rumble's a terrible choice for him to be in. It makes zero sense. He's 41. Again, he's not the guy you're going to go with. And you could say, well, he needs that. He's never had that. He, at this point in his career, again, he's not going to be doing house shows. You anoint guys at WrestleMania to be champion when they are the guys that you've appointed to be those next guys and gals that could carry the company, be there day in, day out at house shows, appearances. Punk's not doing that stuff, guys. I hate to say it. And I know I'm probably bursting people's bubbles. CM Punk is not going to be in the Royal Rumble. It would make no sense to me. And yes, oh, he could go come in and, you know, come in and lose. I guess he could, and maybe whoever eliminates him, he could face at WrestleMania. Maybe that's the only way. But if you have a name in there as hotly anticipated as Punk, and now that it's overtly out there that people are feeling that he's going to debut at the Rumble, it's very unlikely he's going to debut at the Rumble, and you can't have him come in and lose. So I just don't believe that part of it until I see it. But I do believe that in somehow, some way, someday, we will see CM Punk in a wrestling ring, a WWE ring, to be specific, again, with an opponent looking across the ring from him. Could it be Seth Rollins? I'd like to see it. You talk about turning Seth heel. Whew, as much as I don't want to see Seth heel right now, and I think he still has a lot of good in terms of a babyface run, right now, man, it would instantly turn Seth Rollins heel in a matter of seconds. It would turn anybody heel in a matter of seconds to face CM Punk right now. So that is something that's lurking out there in the darkness of who could be CM Punk's opponent. But right now, Seth Rollins is the one barking at CM Punk. And CM Punk is saying, just stop tweeting, stop tweeting. He's saying he's not getting involved in this angle, which means maybe it's Seth who's actually going off a little bit of the, you know, of going into business for himself, trying to coerce Punk back into a match. And this isn't The Office telling Rollins to tweet at Punk. Yes, we've seen rivalries begin on Twitter that creative, WWE creative, have manufactured from Twitter, but I don't know if this is one of them. I mean, I guess time will tell. If Punk comes back in the ring, if Seth Rollins is his opponent, then this was all maybe a long-term plan. Or it could have been Seth going into business for himself, the fans are clamoring for it, and creative goes, hey, good idea. So it wasn't creative's idea, it was Seth's idea that they just latched onto. I mean, there's lots of ways to go with this. This could end up being absolutely nothing. But I would be intrigued by Seth versus CM Punk, abso-freaking-lutely. So there's a lot of rumors swirling around and just so much. I mean, we are heading into the time of the year, and yes, we have the downtime of the holiday season, which December is usually a blah year, a blah month for WWE. But we are about to embark at Survivor Series, which usually has clues to WrestleMania, into the hot part of the season. We are about, I can see the road to WrestleMania. It's just down my street. It's as if you can, you know, you can squint and you can see it. It's a foggy environment right now, but you can see something in the fog, and you know what that is. It is the road to WrestleMania that is right about there. It's right around the corner. It's right beyond that fog that's right in the distance, and that's where we're at. I mean, we are that close to the road to WrestleMania, which to me unofficially starts at Survivor Series, although that may be giving WWE too much credit. But nonetheless, I expect a lot of CM Punk chants. I expect a lot of CM Punk chants, especially during matches that are going poorly or become boring or uninteresting to the live crowd. I think that will be the theme of the night as it rolls on. So, all right. Well, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. I really enjoyed talking about Austin and Bischoff and Punk. Lots of good stuff here, guys. And I always enjoy being able to share my memories and thoughts with you. And, well, I think that's about it. Not that I have a smooth transition for myself tonight, but again, I'll be back Saturday with Ashley, and I'll be also getting the NXT show uploaded for you from Chris, who graciously does the NXT review shows for us. The AEW Dynamite Aftershock show with Zach Perez is also live on the feed. You can head on over to any podcast app and subscribe to us, CastBox, my God, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Radio.com, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Google, and just subscribe to us and give us a rating. It really does help us out. I really mean that. It does. So thank you so much for those of you that take the time to do that. It only takes about 20 seconds to do. Even if you write a review, it's super quick. Or you just hit the star and it takes under a second. I'm not even kidding you. So guys, thank you so much for joining me. And as always, I'll talk to you next time. So we all know that the opioid epidemic is becoming a big problem in this country, but there are solutions out there, and there's a website that you can go to or direct somebody that you know that may need help to this website. It's recoverydelivered.com. That's recoverydelivered.com. When you go to this website, there's a wealth of information from the treatment programs, medications. There's an FAQ, a blog, so many different resources that could save yours or someone you know's life. And there's even a 12-step program that you can do online, an at-home opioid detox, outpatient addiction treatment online. There's even an 800 number that you can call to get help right now. So this could be the most important thing you ever do. RecoveryDelivered.com. They deliver opioid addiction treatment to people via their phone, so you don't have to wait at a clinic each week to see a doctor. Check it out, guys. It's recoverydelivered.com.